before Him. And maybe you're beside someone that lifted up a special request. Lift up that need and burden. And let's bow together in prayer as we pray. Father, we do thank You for being our God. How good You are to us. Lord, how blessed we are in and through the Lord Jesus. And Father, we thank You for many, many blessings. Thank You for the blessing of life itself. And Lord, these breaths that we've just taken, we realize has come from Your hand. And so we give You praise and glory, and we ask, Lord, that You'd help us not to take our lives for granted and not to take for granted the fact that You are the giver of life. And Father, we would just rejoice in You and lift You up and look for ways to praise and bless Your holy name. What a great God You are. And Father, we thank You for each of these requests that have been pointed out. Lord, we do pray for families in our churches that have lost loved ones over these last few weeks. We ask for Your grace to be poured out continually upon them, the Coleman family and Bob Dale's family. Lord, for the Stevens family, Lord, especially for Junior, we pray for that added grace upon him, and that You would just move in great grace, Father, is our prayer. And then, Father, for Louise Burkett, we pray for her as she goes for this surgery tomorrow. We pray that everything will go well, that she would get a good report. Lord, that she would have a good recovery, and that Your hand would be with her. And Father, I pray for Gary and Louise both, Lord, just minister to them and on their behalf. And Father, for Joy Wakefield, we thank You for Joey getting a good report. And Lord, we know these next weeks are going to seem awful long. And Father, we just pray that in grace and mercy that You would just surround him, fill him with Your peace. Lord, in things that he's reading and studying, just refresh him, refresh his mind and his heart, and bless he and Sherry. And we just thank You, Lord, for all that You're going to accomplish on their behalf. Lord, for Joy Morris, we pray for a special touch upon Joy, that You just allow these medicines that she's taken into her body, Lord, to work as they ought to. And Lord, that this virus would be completely gone from her liver. And Lord, that You just lay Your hand upon her in a mighty way. Thank You for her witness. Thank You for the example of love that she is in this church. And we just give You praise and glory for all the many good things that You're doing. And Father, we just pray for Ed tonight also, Lord, as Thought mentioned. Lord, we just lift up Ed Kurtz and just pray that You would renew him, refresh him. Lord, bless him. Work on his behalf is our prayer. Bring strength to his legs. And Father, I pray, Lord, that You would just move in a gracious way on his behalf. And Father, for Shanda and Russ's friend, Doug Mason Cup, we pray that as he goes for chemotherapy treatments, Lord, that everything would go well, that Your hand would be upon him. Lord, even tonight, we pray that You would give him peace. Lord, that Your spirit of peace would be upon him. And Father, just draw him close to Yourself. And we thank You, Father, for all the many good things that You're doing. Thank You for how You're working in and through our church. We just thank You for Your blessings of grace and mercy and just all the many good things, Father, that You're accomplishing. And Father, even as the songs have said tonight, Lord, set us on fire for You. Let Jesus shine in us. May the Holy Spirit be ablaze in our hearts. And Father, as we go out into this needy world that has many people who are lost, many people who are confused, Lord, many who are being led astray by world religions, Father, I pray that You would use us, even as we heard this morning in the message, to be ambassadors, to take the good news of the gospel and share it with those that we come in contact with. And Lord, we thank You for our children's workers and youth workers. And Lord, just for all the workers in the church, we pray blessings on each group meeting tonight. Blessings, Lord, that You just refresh these teachers. Lord, the many unspoken requests that were shown by the uplifted hands. Father, touch us. Move among our hearts. Father, I pray even tonight as we look into Your Word that we would see truth, and Lord, that we would apply truth to our lives. And again, Father, we thank You for every hand that was lifted, every request that was lifted up to You. Father, we thank You for all the many good things that You're doing. Glory to Your name. We praise You. For we ask this in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Amen. We do thank the Lord for how good He's been to us and His Word and those that have preached. Preacher Jimmy's message was a tremendous message, and I appreciate how the Lord used David this morning, and then the week before, Justin Cunningham, Justin's message. In fact, I've put Preacher Jimmy and Justin's message up on the website. If you've got a computer and online and can go to lbethelchurch.net and go to the link that says sermons, you can listen to those messages if you had to miss any of those. But and if you want to share one with a friend, that's an excellent way to let them know that they can listen to that message. But we do praise the Lord for His grace to us. I'm going to ask you tonight, if you got your Bibles, to look in Romans chapter 8 with me. Romans chapter 8, and we're going to look at verses 9 through 12. And look at a glimpse of the working of the Holy Spirit. You know, when you go through the book of Romans, you see this great work of salvation laid out before us. He brings out so clearly the truth that all are lost, all are under sin. The religious man needs to be saved. The heathen needs to be saved. The whole world needs to be saved. All are under sin. I've got a little more fire in my bones tonight because right before coming over here, I watched a message that was sent to me by someone, but it's from YouTube on Oprah Winfrey's study on the path, and where she's saying pretty much that, telling us just the opposite. We're not sinners. That our minds are enlightened. That you have the mind of Christ. You know, that you don't have to worry about your future. That God is a God of love, and, you know, that doesn't matter even if you believe in God. As long as you believe sincerely, you know, you're going to end up in the right place. And, you know, literally millions of people are taking that study under her. And it's being broadcast, and it's being taught, and over the internet, and even in coliseums. And people are jumping up with excitement. And I want you to know it's a time for the church to pray like we've never prayed before. And not only pray, but it's time for us to really live for the Lord Jesus. I mean, we've got to be vocal. And folks, I want you to know, if you can't find it in this book, then you better stay away from it. This is our guide. This is where we find truth, and this is where we weigh every other truth that we hear. And when you're looking or listening, and you know something comes, and you say, "Wait a minute, that doesn't sound right," well, that's the Holy Spirit, right then, trying to warn you, setting off an alarm in your heart and your mind, and saying, "You know, here's falsehood. Step away from it. Step away from it." And I want you to know, if you read some of these books, they will put thoughts in your mind that will trouble your soul and ruin your peace. And that's not what God wants for you. This passage tonight emphasizes the fact that the Holy Spirit has come to work on our behalf so that we can know that we're saved, so that we have that assurance, so that we have that peace, so that we have the very working of God in our lives. which works righteousness in us, so that also we know that if we face death, death is not our enemy, and that we have a peace that transcends this world. Now, notice these verses. I want to ask you, if you will, to stand as we read from Romans 8, backing up to verse number 9. Romans 8, verse number 9. He says, you, and it's in the emphatic, meaning you, yes, I mean you. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit. If the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, and your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who lives in you. Let's bow together in prayer. Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for truth that it lays out in front of us. And Father, I pray, Lord, that You would help us to get saturated in Your truth. Lord, to get in Your Word, to get it deeply in our hearts. And Father, we would realize that we have been saved for such a day as this. To stand and declare the truth, to stand and bear witness to Your work. And Father, I pray even tonight, Lord, that You would just draw us closer to Yourself. Lord, that we would have some personal revivals right here. That would, Lord, stir us. That we would know You're working in us. We would know that there's power to face the world. There's power to give a witness. Lord, there's power that can change this world for the Lord Jesus. And so, Father, I pray, Lord, that You would give us Your grace of strength. Lord, I pray that You would help this message to be clear. Lord, that we would take it, we would apply it, we would live according to it. And Lord, that even tomorrow, folks would know that we're different because You are at work in our lives. And we thank You and praise You for all that You're doing. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Here we have this tremendous glimpse of the working of the Holy Spirit. All through this section, in fact, all through Romans 8, there is emphasis placed on the Holy Spirit of God and His relation to the believer's life. He is the one working to make us holy. If you and I could just realize that, we cannot make ourselves holy or holier. It's not what we can do. This Christian life is not about what we can do. It is about what God can do through us if we will be a surrendered vessel. If we'll just bring ourselves as a vessel and confess our weakness and say, "Oh God, will You fill me? Will You work in me? Will You take me? And will You use me for Your glory?" That is the very prayer that God wants to hear from our hearts. In fact, when you look in Romans, I want you to know, especially here in Romans 8, it is impossible to exaggerate the importance of honoring the Holy Spirit to the fullest extent in regard to Christian holiness. In other words, you can't overemphasize how important it is for you and I as believers to learn what it means to be led by the Spirit and to live in the Spirit. That's what this chapter is about. That's what victory in the Christian life. If you're going to experience it and have abounding joy and grace and God working, it's coming to learn what it means to live in the Spirit and day by day be led by the Spirit. Now, he starts off in verse number 9 talking about the Christian's past. The Christian's past. In the past, we were controlled by our sinful nature. In the past, the flesh dominated us. We couldn't help it. We were in sin. We were under the dominion of sin. We were under the control of Satan. That is the realm that you and I lived in. We were under sin. But now we are not under sin, but we are living according to the Spirit. And I want you to know that applies to every Christian. Every one of us are to be living according to the Holy Spirit. That applies to all of us. Note Paul's logic in this verse. First of all, he says, if you do not have the Spirit of God, you are none of His. It's pretty plain, isn't it? If you don't have the Spirit of God, you're not saved. You're not His child. You're lost. That's what he's saying. If you don't have the Spirit of God, you're none of His. Secondly, he says, if you belong to Christ, you have the Spirit of Christ. If you look in your heart, you see that time, you know where God revealed to you you were lost. You prayed, you said, Jesus, come in and be Lord of my life. And He did. Your sins were forgiven, were wiped away. He made you a new creature, a new creation. The Spirit of God came to live within you. And you had a new power. And listen, if you're saved, that power is still within you. It's still there, still desiring to work in and through our lives. But then he also comes back to say, if you have the Spirit of Christ, you will not be controlled by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to put it in Ron's version here. And this is what he's saying. If you belong to Jesus, you're going to live like it. It's pretty plain, isn't it? If you really belong to Jesus Christ, you're going to live like you belong to Jesus Christ. There's something inside of you that's going to say, do this, go there, say this, read this, obey this. Because the Spirit of God within you is going to be bearing witness to your heart. Now, don't get me wrong. Am I saying that we will never sin? Oh, no. We'll sin every day. We miss the mark. I want you to know, we get selfish. Sometimes we just get tired. And we say, well, God, you know, I want to do this now. And we do what we want to do, and we turn God off. He may be speaking. He may be saying for us to call somebody or pray for somebody. And we say, well, I don't want to do anything spiritual. What have I done? I've sinned. You know, the more I look at my life, I'm more afraid of the sins of omission that I've committed than I am of the sins of commission. The fact that I have left things undone that God would have had me do. And folks, that's where it comes to every day being available and asking God, God, will you work within me? Will you guide me? A Christian is someone who has been delivered from one realm, which was the realm of sin and death. And now has been transferred to a new realm, which is the realm of God's Spirit, the realm of life in Christ Jesus. Now, I want you to know that is so glorious. I wish I could paint it for you, but here we were, and if you could see this corner representing lostness and being in darkness and in death and no hope, and the fact that I'm walking on a trail that's leading me to final destruction, separation from God forever. And God came through His Spirit, through His Word, and He reached down and saved us. And listen, when He saved us, He transferred us all the way over here to the realm of the this realm of life in Christ Jesus. That is a realm of light and life and power in and through the Holy Spirit. Glory! How do we get over that so quickly? I mean, if that just stayed in our minds, how great this deliverance is that moved us from that darkness and death over here to this light and life. How wonderful that is. I want you to see it in another verse. Look in the book of Titus. Titus chapter 3 at verse number 5. And all the T books are there together. 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. 1st and 2nd Timothy. And then you come to Titus. Titus chapter 3. Notice verse 5. Tremendous verse here. He says this. He saved us. Not because of righteous things we had done, but because of His mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth. If you have the King James Version there, it uses the word regeneration. He saved us through regeneration, which is the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. Now notice what God did when He saved us, and He didn't save us because of any righteous thing we've done, but because of His mercy toward us. And when He saved us, He washed us, through the blood of the Lord Jesus. I mean, folks, He used a cleansing agent that nothing else can compare to. He washed us with the blood of the Lord Jesus. And listen, this cleansing agent is so strong, you know what? You can't get it off of you once you've been washed with it. Wow. And through the renewal of the Holy Spirit. God renewing, quickening our spirit, bringing us life. And what's so wonderful that from time to time when you and I drift and we've gotten away, His Word comes to speak and His Spirit comes to stir, and another renewal can take place in your life. And that is exciting to me. God never gives up on us. You may give up on Him. You may drift from Him. You may think that everything is hopeless. But listen, He never gives up on you. Praise His wonderful name. But notice the Christian's present tense in verse number 10. Notice this verse back in Romans 8, verse number 10. He goes on to say, but if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. The Spirit of Christ in relation to the believer's present life is the fact that the Spirit of God is given to us to provide us the power for holiness. The power for righteous living has been provided. Listen, Jesus is the believer's purity. These bodies of ours were dead in sin. In fact, I want you to look at a verse. Turn, if you will, over to 1 Thessalonians. And look at verse 23 of chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23. You know, when Adam and Eve were in the garden and God said, if you eat of this tree, you're going to die. And we see them eat of the tree and they don't die in our eyes, do they? They run and hide and they cover themselves with fig leaves. And for the first time, we see the fact that there's a guilt associated with their nakedness. What happened to Adam and Eve? Well, let's read this verse. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says this, God Himself, the God of peace, sanctify you. And that word sanctify simply means to make you holy, make you righteous, sanctify you through and through. May your whole, notice this, spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless to the coming of the Lord Jesus. So, if you could just get a box or have in your mind three boxes. And on this top box would be the word spirit, and in the middle the word soul, and in the bottom the word body. What happened to Adam and Eve, the moment they sinned, they died in their spirit immediately. That part of them, that their relationship with God, that part of them that desired to walk with God in the cool of the day, died. And for the first time, they were afraid of God. They ran and hid from God. And I want you to know, as men and women are born into this world and have this sinful nature, we have a spirit that is dead toward God. We can hear truth and hear it, but we don't receive it. You know why? There's not a receiver. Our spirit is spiritually dead. And then progressively, man began to die in his soul. Our soul is our mind, will, and emotions. And then finally, Adam and Eve, 930 years later, died in their body. Now, what happens in salvation? In salvation, when you and I come to the place where we realize we're lost, where our eyes have been opened, God lets us see that we're lost, and He stirs faith in us to believe in Him. And we say, Jesus, save me. Jesus, come and be Lord of my life. What happens? Immediately, first thing, my spirit comes alive. The first thing that died in the falls, the first thing that comes alive in salvation. Progressively, we become more and more saved in our soul as we learn to bring our mind, will, and emotions under the control of the Lord Jesus. And then finally, the last thing to be saved will be our bodies. We're going to lay these bodies down, and one day, this body is going to be resurrected and experience the full power and glory of salvation. I don't know all that means, but I do know it means that we'll be like Jesus. And folks, that's going to be glorious. That's going to be glorious. In our spirit now, since we're saved, we are able to receive truth. That's why you can now come to church and have your Bible open and be looking and you're hearing truth and you go, I see it. You're right. You're right. I see it. Why? Because now you've got your tuner on. You can receive truth. And now you can begin to bring that truth down into your life. Your mind, will, and emotions begins to perceive what your spirit has already received. And then with our bodies, we choose to put it into action. We obey it. We obey what God wants us to do. Sin had brought death to our spirit. Salvation brings life. And now we are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. God works holiness in us by allowing His Spirit to take His Word and through various situations mold us and make us like the Lord Jesus. Well, folks, realize that nothing happens to you by accident. Not a thing. It all comes from your Father's. It has to pass your Father's hand. Everything. That means, listen, there is a purpose in this. There's a purpose. If you go to the doctor tomorrow and hear that C word and find out you have cancer, listen, there is a purpose in that. It may be that you might be the only witness that's going to open their mouth and be bold and tell that doctor about Jesus? You never know. But there's a purpose. God is at work in all things, and all things that He works in, He works through His Word, He works through His Spirit, and He is always working to make us like His Son. So that when He's through, people begin to look at us and they see Jesus. They start hearing Jesus. They see people react and acting in a way that brings glory to Jesus. But notice what He says about the believer's future in verse 11. Verse 11, He goes on to say this, that, "And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who lives in you." So this is what He comes to say. The Spirit of Him that's in you is the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. And if the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is in you, you also will be resurrected. Man, what tremendous truth. Glory to His name. How great He is. The point of the verse is to know that in the future, God is going to fulfill all of His promises on your behalf. Now, how serious is God about doing that? I want you to see a couple of verses. Look in Ephesians, just a few books over to the right in your Bible. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Ephesians chapter 1, which deals with our wealth, our riches in Christ. But listen to these two verses, 13 and 14. says this, "And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having believed," now notice this, "having believed, you were marked in Him with a seal of the promise of the Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing your inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of His glory." Well, what is He saying in those verses? He's saying that, you know what, when one of the greatest days, and it ought to be one of the days that we always go back and look at and praise God for, the day that we heard the truth, and all of a sudden we didn't hear it just as truth, we heard it as God calling our hearts, saying, "Come unto Me. Come unto Me. Come and surrender your life to Me. Come and believe in Me and follow Me and live for Me." And we came. And He says, you know what? In that day, you were marked off as belonging to God. You were not only marked off, but He put a holy seal on your life. Not only did He do that, but the King James uses the word earnest. He put down some earnest money on your future. He put down a deposit guaranteeing your future. Now, let's say Dot was going to sell her house. And I was interested in buying it, and she wanted $150,000 for that house. And I came over, I said, "Dot, you know, I'm your pastor. I kind of like this house. I want to buy it." And I take out my wallet and I say, "But all I got right now is $20. Dot, would you let me sign a contract? Will you hold this house for me for $20? And she'll probably laugh a little bit. And then I believe she'd say, "Yeah, you know, Pastor, I'll try to hold it for you. But we really need to sell it." Now, if I came up to her instead of offered her $20. And I told her, I said, Dot, you know, I really want this house. And I don't have the whole $150,000 right yet, but I've got $149,950. You know, could you let me put this down on this house and will you hold it for me? You know what she'd say? I believe she'd say, here's the key. Here's the key. Listen, folks, that's exactly what God has done for us. He put down a deposit on our future so that you and I would know that we have eternal life, so that we would know that we're going to go to heaven, so that we would know that He lives within us and that we're His children. And what was that payment? What did He pay? He gave us His own Spirit. He gave us His Spirit to indwell us and fill us and live within us. Well, I want you to know, when I was having that surgery the other day, March the 26th, I remember it. And it just, you know, they kept delaying. And finally they came for me and were willing me back in the operating room. And man, they started doing some stuff before I was ready for them to start doing some stuff. I'm just going to tell you. And that lady told me, she said, you need to start taking some really deep breaths. And I remember taking those deep breaths and I remember praying. I said, and saying, oh Lord, here I am. You know, I'm in your hands and I'm your little child. And I thank you for whatever you're going to do. And peace. Peace. Instead of fear, there was peace. You see, that's what God wants us to have. He wants us to have His Spirit indwelling us, controlling us, working in us, so that the world, as they watch us handle problems and situations, they see us walk in victory and they're saying, how can He do that? And our only answer is Jesus. It's not us. It's not what we can do. It's Jesus. And the same Jesus that gives me peace, the same Jesus that gives me eternal life, is the same Jesus that wants to work in your life. Isn't that wonderful? In a world that is hurting and broken and troubled, you and I get to share that wonderful message. That there is a God who will save you. There is a God who will wipe away your sins. Not only will He do that, but listen, He will impart His Spirit within you to be with you forever. And to escort you one day right into His presence. Now, folks, I want to ask you tonight, do you have that peace? Do you have that peace of Christ and of His Spirit in control of your heart? Or have you allowed some things to get in the way, hindrances? Maybe you took a wrong turn. And tonight God says, child, I want to refresh you. I want to quicken you. I want to awaken you afresh and empower you. See, it may be that you just need to come to this altar and get before God and say, God, I just need a fresh stirring in my heart. Well, I want the Holy Spirit to control me. I want the flesh to die. I want to see your truth. I want to live according to it. I want to bring glory to your name. Maybe that there's someone here that you've seen tonight, you've never really been saved. There's no Spirit of Jesus in you. Listen, tonight you can change that. Tonight, if you hear His voice, He'll save you. Maybe that He's leading you to be a part of this church. It may be that He's leading you to pray for somebody specifically that's going through a storm. Well, would you come tonight and pray? Let's bow our hearts and heads together in prayer. Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for how it ministers to us. How it feeds our souls. How it gives us strength, guidance, and direction. Lord, we praise You because You care enough about us to give us Your Word, to give us directions. Lord, You care enough about us that You've come tonight to speak to our hearts. And Lord, I pray that we'd come. Lord, there's some tonight that ought to come and just lay some hurts right here at this altar and ask for help. Ask for strength. Ask for grace. Lord, there may be some tonight that just need a fresh awakening, a personal revival. And Lord, I'm excited because You love to do that in us. Lord, whatever the needs are, we ask, Lord, that You would help us just to be obedient to Your name. Thank You for all that You're going to do. Bring glory to Your name is our prayer. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing a hymn invitation, Tracy. Hymn number 300. Hymn 300. Listen, if God's spoken to your heart, you've heard His voice, you know you ought to come. Listen, maybe you don't even need to pick up a book because you ought to come immediately to this altar and pray. Would you come tonight? Let's stand together as we sing. Hymn 300. You come. Even on the first verse, You come.